Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who follow Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do. You should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them, for it is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Oreb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might perform them in the land where you are going over to possess it. So watch yourselves carefully, since you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Oreb from the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth. And beware lest you lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the hosts of heaven and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace from Egypt to be a people for his own possession as today. Now the Lord was angry with me on your account and swore that I should not cross the Jordan and that I should not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For I shall die in this land, I shall not cross the Jordan, but you shall cross and take possession of this good land. So watch yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you become the father of children, and children's children have remained long in the land and act corruptly and make an idol in the form of anything and do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord your God as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you shall surely perish quickly from the land which you are going over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not live long on it, but shall be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you shall be left few in number among the nations where the Lord shall drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and listen to his voice. For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them. Indeed, ask now concerning the former days, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and inquire from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything been done like this great thing, or has anything been heard like it? Has any people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire as you have heard it and survived? Or has a God tried to go to take for himself a nation from within another nation by trials, by signs and wonders, and by war, and by mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, by great terrors, as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, He is God. There is no other besides Him. Out of the heavens He let you hear His voice to discipline you, and on earth He let you see His great fire, and you heard His words from the midst of the fire. Because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants from after them, and He personally brought you from Egypt by His great power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance as it is today. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart, that the Lord, He is God, in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. And so you shall keep His statutes and His commandments, what I'm giving you today, that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God has given you for all time. Then Moses set apart three cities across the Jordan to the east, that a manslayer might flee there, who unintentionally slew his neighbor without having enmity toward him in time past. And by fleeing to one of these cities, he might live. These are in the wilderness of the plateau for the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. Now this is a law which Moses set before the sons of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances which Moses spoke to the sons of Israel when they came out from Egypt across the Jordan in the valley opposite Beth Peor in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, whom Moses and the sons of Israel defeated when they came out of Egypt. And they took possession of his land and the land of Og, king of Bashan, the two kings of the Amorites who were across the Jordan to the east, and Aroer, which on the east of the valley of Arnon, even as far as Mount Sion, that is Hermon, with all the Arabah across the Jordan to the east, even as far as the Sea of Arabah to the foot of the slopes of Pisgah. Amen. Well, that was long. Okay, chapter 4, this is a basically a summary of the covenant that God had already made with them before, but the scene is a little bit intriguing. So they just fought this battle, you know, with Og, remember the chapter before, and then now with Baal Peor. Baal Peor was this great, huge temple that stood high on the mountains. And from where Moses is talking to the Israelites here in the valley, they could actually see this huge temple towards this god. And so Moses, I mean, you couldn't think of a better scenario to talk about idolatry than this moment right here. Not only is this forbidding temple overlooking the Israelites in the valley, but they had just defeated these people. And so it was kind of a nod to, hey, these are false gods. We've already beaten them. We've already, in fact, we've taken care of all the Amorites, you know, with Og and now Baal Peor as well. And so then he gives this word about idolatry. And he shares a little bit of history, first of all. So he talks about covenant. So listen to the statutes and the judgments which I'm teaching you to perform, or that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord your God or fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Now this is really important for us because this happens all the time. People, basically, God gives us the law, and we choose which ones to follow and which ones not to follow. I mean, I've had conversations with people. It's really sad. And it's kind of like, well, I'll follow this commandment, but this commandment, no, I'm not going to follow this one. And this one's okay, but this one doesn't appeal to me by any means. And this is what he's saying. He says, hey, it's the whole thing. It's all of these things. You can't take from it. You can't add to it either. It's a simple statute that God gives to you, that we should live out fully what's laid out here. And it's not just that we get it and we understand it. If you look through the scriptures, you will never see a verse that says, understand this, or get this idea, or comprehend this truth. The Bible never speaks in those terms. The Bible always speaks in terms of obey, do it. It's not just good enough that you intellectually, conceptually, cognitively understand the word of the Lord. What's important is that you do it, that you live this thing out. It's not just about intellect. This is where the scriptures break free from philosophy. Philosophy is good, and you'll see a lot of philosophy in the scriptures as well, but it's not just about thinking about it. It's not just some ethereal concept that we grasp, and then boom, there it is. The scriptures always talk about truth related to action. Truth to be truly valid and real is truth that's applied into our lives. And so you don't just understand it, do it. And when you do it with the understanding, that's what brings life to us. Just merely thinking about it is not enough. Merely understanding about it is not enough. It's understanding. I mean, that's got to be part of it, because then you could have zeal without knowledge. That's the whole indictment that Jesus had against the Pharisees. So we don't want that. And so you want to conceptually grasp it, but really what you want to do is you want to do it. You want to apply that truth. That's what makes life. That's what makes covenant come alive into our lives. And he tells them, he says, look, all these things that God has done for you, these commandments, even the fact that you have these statutes is really a testimony of how great this God is and how important you are to this God. And so he gives them a way, a path by which they should live their lives. And then what's going to happen is, verse 6, I like this. Surely this, the end of this, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. In other words, other nations are going to say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And I want to suggest to you that's happening today. There's probably not a smaller country that's more admired, I mean, outside of the Muslim world, than Israel. Israel, I mean, the way they've kept their history, if you look purely at Nobel Peace Prize winners, titans of industry and whatnot, there is undeniable favor of God on the Jewish people. And not only in terms of materially and intellectually and scholarly in those ways, but also simply in terms of the laws and the statutes. You know, most of the Western laws that are in operation today actually come from the scriptures. This overview of this idea is actually biblically based. In other words, it's these same statutes that were given to Moses are the same ones that govern most of Western law today, which is really fascinating if we think about this. And then he turns and it's the whole teaching on idols and idolatry and graven images and whatnot. So imagine yourself, you're on the plains and you're looking out at this huge foreboding temple that is the people of the worship is destroyed now. And now he's telling them, and he says, look, he says, God, he never came to you in any form. He says, verse 12, the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form, only a voice. I'm going to get that in a moment, but think about that. You didn't see any form, only a voice. You didn't dishonor God by worshiping an idol, but you also didn't dishonor him by putting a replacement of God on earth that cheapens actually who God is. And so either way, you're trying to worship God, and so you make this image to worship that, but cheapens him. Or you just totally worship an image and also dishonor God in that regard. It says, you never did that because I never came to you in any form whatsoever. The only thing you heard was a voice. Let me get to that in a moment. Then he goes through this whole thing, lest you act corruptly, watch yourselves in the form of any figure, male or female, fish, winged birds. Now, he's now alluding to the Egyptians. The Egyptians had all kinds of these idols. They obviously worshiped Pharaoh, male and female. Then they also begin to worship the sun and the moon and all those things. Then they worship the fish in the sea. There are actually particular fish that Osiris and Isis seem to have blessed. They worship crocodiles. They worship cats, dogs, all kinds of different animals, even certain kinds of birds. The plethora of all these things that Moses lays out, these guys worship all of these things. And he says, But I didn't show myself to you in any of these ways. I didn't cheapen deity in a form of anything that man could create. And going back to this, and you only heard a voice. And he'll say this, he'll repeat this a few times in there. Think about what he's saying. You only heard a voice. This is why, brothers and sisters, hearing the voice of God is such an integral part of our worship of the Lord. In our Experiencing God class that we teach, the author spends quite a bit of time talking about God's voice and hearing God's voice, and especially to know Him in intimacy and to receive guidance and direction. And he says a certain phrase that always, trust me, every season it bothers people to no end. And he says, this phrase is really simple. The quote is, if you're having trouble hearing God, he says, you're having trouble at the very heart of your Christian experience. Almost akin to Blackaby saying, if you don't hear God's voice, you may not be a Christian. But obviously, that's not what he's saying. But very close. I mean, in other words, you may be a believer, but you're having difficulty at the very heart of your Christian experience. And for people that don't hear God's voice, I'm not talking about charismatic stuff, okay? I'm not talking about the gift of prophecy. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm just talking about because God shows us to himself, not in any form, not in any winged creature, not in any anything whatsoever. The only thing that you received was a voice. And with that in mind, and if we think through very carefully, it's true. If you are having trouble hearing God, you are having trouble at the very heart of your Christian experience. This is how the people related to their God. It was through His voice. It was really talking about intimacy. This is the kind of life or Christian experience that God wanted to have with His people. It's important that you are in tune with the voice of God. It's important that you hear daily from the Lord. Now, God speaks through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible. And so that's when I talk about hearing God's voice, I'm talking about God speaking to you through the Scriptures. God speaks to you through prayer as you pray. God speaks to you through the church. And God speaks to you through circumstances around you. But God is always speaking to us. Think about it. Even when you sin, when we commit sin, God never stops speaking to us. The only problem is that our prayers are not heard. It says, you regard sin in your heart. It says, God does not hear. And so it's not so much that God stops speaking, God stops hearing. It's two totally different things. And so this is why there's conviction of the Spirit. When we sin, and all of a sudden the Spirit comes and He convicts us, we're hearing from God about our sin. And so don't mess up the whole sin part of this. God is always speaking to us. In the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's true. You know, I always like Eugene Peterson's translation. It says, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady streams of words from God's mouth. See, it's really about His voice coming to us. And so it's pretty important for us to take pause this moment, this morning, and ask ourselves, am I hearing the voice of God? Am I in an intimate relationship with my Father God, that I hear His voice, that I understand His will, that I obey and I follow His directives? That's really key in our understanding. So let's close our eyes. So He didn't come to us in any form of idols, any graven images. To do that would be to cheapen who He is. You only heard a voice. It's imperative that we come to the voice of God. As we sing today, let the Holy Spirit speak to us about our life, about our heart, about our day today. And let's be dictated by the voice of God. Let's pray this morning. Let's quiet our hearts. Let's hear His voice. Let's be still and know that He is God. He didn't come to us in any form, only His voice. It's important that His people are hearing from Him every single day. And if you can't hear His voice, talk to Him. What's going on in your life? What's going on in your intimacy? It's not an issue of sensitivity. It's an issue of relationship. Well, let's pray this morning. Let's pray over our community. Let's pray for our friends that are battling cancer and overcoming their chemo and recovering from surgery. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness, but also that needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. pray for our community, our missions. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up the country and pray for Grace. Grace is here in Hong Kong right now. And pray for a restful time with her, for her as she joins us at the retreat. Pray for Pastor O and Vision to Reality. He's actually in the UK working on his PhD. Pray for God's favor. He'd finish well. Let's also lift up Japan. Ask God to bless this country and draw this country to Jesus. Pray for Pastor Sophia. She's got a new place. Just all the warfare that's going on around her. Let's just cover her by God's grace. Let's pray for IP Well and Cascade. Let's pray for our leaders in these ministries, healing ministries. Pray that they would really hear from God and be anointed to minister to our people. Let's just lift up. Let's cover our education ministry. So pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU, particularly as the teachers and staff prepare for the retreat. Let's pray for God's hand upon our young people, that they would just continue to grow in grace and knowledge, favor with God, favor with man. And let's lift up our young people as well as our staff and teachers that minister to them. Let's pray for our outreaches tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and the homeless outreach. Let's ask God's blessing upon them as they go and minister to the homeless and the women in Wan Chai. Let's pray for God's favor and protection over them. Let's pray for house churches meeting tonight, Soho, Robin Hood, and Austin West. And let's pray for God's blessing and real unity, real presence of the Lord to be upon each one of them. And lastly, let's continue to lift up our retreat. Pray for Pastor Benjamin. Pray that God would download the messages that we need to hear as a community. Pray for all the logistics for the retreat, and pray that especially for the guys who are flying in from different places, that there'll be no issues. Pray for health all along for our kids. I think there's gonna be a lot of warfare related to this. Actually, pray for my kids. There was a Hannah had a play date, and the kid that came over has a foot, hand, and mouth disease. So it's kind of, we just found out. And so we're taking our kids to the doctor today. They might have it. So we might have another outbreak again. That happened last year as well. So let's pray against all the illnesses and sicknesses and things that the enemy wants to do to take people away from entering into his presence. So let's just cover the retreat. Lord, we thank you, God. We bless you today. Lord, help us not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers of it, God. Lord, it's not enough just to understand, Lord, but it's to obey and do and apply truth into our lives. And so help us, God, Lord, we want to be people, Lord, that are close to you. I want people that walk in intimacy. Lord, I want to be people that hear your voice. And so speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Thank you, God. Watch over us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys today. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.